Come on, can we put our hands together, everybody? Would you help me appreciate the worship team for the great work? If you're clapping because you can do it better, I understand. Hallelujah. For some of us, those songs takes us somewhere else. How many of you have ever heard about a church called Cherubim and Seraphim? Wave your hands if you know the church. Wave it out like you know the church. Wave your hands if you've entered the church before. Wave it. Let Jesus see you. All right. So I was born there. By the way, there are two types. There is the movement and there is the sacred. Is that okay? So I was born into the movement. So that's where some of us learned how to pray very early. That's where we're taught to compete, knowing the Bible. So at age six, some of us learned how to fast. And they made fasting rewarding. So my mother will show me the reward of fasting. If you fast at the end of today, this is what you will eat. So for the sake of the joy that lies ahead of me, I will endure the cross. Little did I know that training was what we're going through. And one of the things about life is that there are too many talented people who are not trained. And training makes the difference. And training ain't easy. Anytime you're being trained for anything, the pain of training is usually not a convenient one. But the reward of it, quite amazing. So I want to say a big thank you to Cherubim and Seraphim and my mother for making fasting an enjoyable practice. Amen. Very quickly this morning, because we have a short time with this, your morning first service, you know, so I need to rush quickly through the word and see what God will help us to cover before we get into the second service. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. Please remain standing as we read God's word. We want to welcome everyone joining us online across the nations of the earth. We thank you for joining this broadcast today. We recognize the fact that some of you have to stay awake in the western part of the world, Canada, the US, just to be a part of this service. We do not take your presence for granted. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. I want us all to do it together so that nobody sleeps on me whilst we read the word of the Lord. And by the way, the Bible makes us to know that there's just blessing. There's a blessing for just reading the word of God. All right? Let's do it together after the count of two. Once you go, let us. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27, everybody. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Can we do verse 28 again? And I want you to personalize the text, particularly after when it says, and God bless them. You're free to put your name into the text, and that will not be an offense to God. Can we do that together? Everywhere you find them, just put your name, okay? Let's do that one to go. And God bless Sam Oye. And said unto Sam Oye, Well, I appreciate that, because you are, the way you read it was like you're speaking to a version of you that was in 2022. So I want you now to speak to the 2023 version of you. And there's something I'd like you to take note of. And today, perhaps your eyes may be opened. I told you last week, you're going to be exposed to a lot this month. Simple things you've been looking at, you never give attention to. Your eyes will be open to that. And I'm committed to that. But before we get into all those depths, let's try to make sure we understand scripture. When you find the semicolon or the colon after, that's a subdue it, right? At the end of subdue it, where you have the colon. Now, the colon there comes to tell you that, consequent upon what has gone before, you shall have what comes after. So I see people who want to have dominion, but do not have a recourse to what produces dominion. So forget about dominion if you ignore what comes before. Does that make sense now? All right, so we're going to look at what comes before you have dominion. In essence, we're looking at the prerequisite for dominion. Okay? And in this world, there are only two sides. There are those who are dominating and those who have been dominated. There's no middle line. You are either being dominated or you are dominating, period. It's what it is in the marketplace and in the workplace. You are either dominating or you're being dominated. There's no point of neutrality. So let's look at that scripture again. Read it with you in context and the 2023 version of you. Can we go together? One, two, go. And God bless Sam Oye and said unto Sam Oye, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and Father, we thank you for this moment. We ask that the teaching and the preaching of your word will bring light, life to your people in the name of Jesus. We want to pray that the veil be taken from before our eyes. The Bible says, for up till this moment, whilst they read in Moses, the veil was still before their face. But the Bible says, as we turn before the Lord, the veil is taken away. Holy Spirit of God, I ask that the veil will be taken away in an instance. And someone here, Lord, will have access into that which you've preordained and prefixed for our lives. In Jesus the Christ's mighty name we pray. And amen. God bless you. Look at someone around you before you sit down and say Happy New Year once again. Say to the person, great grace be upon you. Great grace be upon you. Amen. I'll be speaking to you today from where I stopped last week on covenant principles for extraordinary kingdom prosperity. Covenant principles for extraordinary kingdom prosperity. By way of recognizing the audience that I speak with, let me perhaps ask, so that I don't assume, which is the lowest form of knowledge. How many of us came to prosper in this land? You came to prosper. How many of you came to prosper? How many of you want to prosper? Raise your hands. How many of you are not interested in prosperity? You just love Jesus. You just want to go to heaven. You're not interested in prosperity. Okay. How many of us love Jesus, want to go to heaven and prosper here on earth? Okay, so let's get down to business. I made three bold announcements last week. I want to see perhaps if I have good students who take notes. Three bold announcements backed up by scripture. Number one, can anybody tell me what it is? Say it again. God wants me to prosper. Say that, everybody. Say like a minute. God wants me to prosper. One, two, go. Number two, what is the second pronouncement? God is pleased when I prosper. Say that again. One, two, go. Number three, can anybody say what it is? God has made provision for me to prosper. I do not intend to go back to that. You may have to go and watch the broadcast of last week so that it can be a blessing to you. God wants me to prosper. Number two, God is pleased when I prosper. Number three, God who is pleased when I prosper, the same God who wants me to prosper has made provision for me to prosper. So, is it possible that the presence of poverty is a reflection of my lack of knowledge of the means by which God has designed for me to prosper? Because my people are destroyed for lack of water. Not for the lack of prayer, but for the lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge is the basis for the destruction of my people. So where knowledge is absent, suffering will continue. Write that down. Where knowledge is absent, suffering will continue. What you don't know, you will suffer from. I have heard cases where individuals were told after they just went for a routine check and they were told, sorry, you didn't know you have cancer. I didn't know. And by the time the knowledge of it is coming to the fore, it's already at the terminal stage. So one of the things that destroys the body of Christ and the people of God is ignorance. What is prosperity? Write this down so that those who have problem with prosperity can have an holistic perspective to what prosperity is. Write this down. What is prosperity? Prosperity simply means to advance. Prosperity means to advance. So when I say prosper, what am I saying, ma'am? Say it again. Advance. When I say prosper, I'm saying flourish. Do what? Flourish. Another word, thrive. The opposite of thrive is to survive. God did not place you here to survive. God placed you here to do what, sir? To thrive. So the word prosper means to advance. It means to progress. It means to progress. It means to succeed. It means to succeed. It means to grow strong and become vigorous. It means to grow strong and become vigorous. Another definition of prosperity means is to possess enough to carry out your dreams. Prosperity means to possess enough to carry out your God-given dreams. The wisest thing you can do in the church of God when you are being taught the word is to take notes. Never assume that you will keep what I'm saying in your mind. Somebody once said the faintest pen is better than the sharpest mind. And if you want to be right, make sure you write. It is simple wisdom. You can't refer to what you did not take note on. The potential to misquote a person increases when you do not take notes. The potential to misquote always increases when you don't take note. Even with taking notes, you can misquote. Not to now talk about not taking, oh, Pastor, oh, Pastor, I have a photographic mind, really. So I appreciate the fact that I see a lot of you taking notes. Just by way of referring again to what I said, prosperity means to advance, It means to progress, to flourish, to thrive, to succeed, to grow strong and become vigorous, to possess enough to carry out your God-given dream and to help others. It's very critical that you are so blessed, you're able to carry out your God-given responsibility, and you are able to help others. Your God-given responsibility includes taking care of your children. That you are able to send your kids to school, pay your bills, and you're not an embarrassment to your own name, and you're not an embarrassment to the family you come from. It's what prosperity is all about. One of the major secrets of prosperity, lasting prosperity, because the unbelievers also prosper, but one of the lasting secrets of prosperity is what I want to share with you today. And next week I will begin to go into what made Switzerland, Germany, in the early days of Martin Luther and in the days of Zwingli, what is it that made them to develop using the Bible and the Nigerian church is what it is. It is such a sad reality, even though I believe very strongly in prayer, but I can tell you strongly that praying is not the only reason why we are what we are. And that is why after every PPH, I announce and I say, go to walk where God walks wonders. I see a generation of young people who are only focused on how many hours we can pray in tongues, but are not productive when it comes to life in itself. What is it that made Zwingli to go to Martin Luther, to go to Germany, to say, listen, we want to study what made Germany to be progressive using biblical principles? And he was able to find the work ethics that are enshrined, the biblical principles enshrined in scripture. He was able to take that over to Switzerland. Till date, in the midst of recession, Switzerland remains always very strong. It was as a result of that, sir, the United Kingdom also said, listen, we are seeing how God is blessing Germany, Switzerland. What can we learn from them? And they were able to import the work ethics that also helped to build the United Kingdom. An average young man in church today is so lazy, very lazy. No stamina for work. I'm going to be teaching you a mystery, a very powerful secret founded in diligence. And you're going to find out that it doesn't matter what you do on earth if you don't understand diligence. Diligence, which enshrines things like grit, resilience, persistence. If you don't understand diligence, you ain't going any far. I don't get to know if you are as gifted as Satan himself. If you lack diligence, you're not going any far. It's a shame to the church, sir, if you put Michael Jackson's work ethics beside many worship leaders, they stand no test at all. Recently, I stumbled, about 2 weeks ago, I stumbled on a broadcast going on Michael Jackson. And I could, this was rehearsals. Remember the night he died of propofol? He had a rehearsal that if you watch, you will still think it's a real performance. Because for him, if I fail in rehearsal, I can't win in performance. So it's not like the church. We are during rehearsals. Say, Abimikuna, no worry. When we get to church, you go everything. See, you know God now, he will surprise us on the stage. not the kind of church we belong to. Help me appreciate this instrumentalist. I mean, really do. From the way they play, do they look like people looking for their keys on the stage? They know one look from me will make them disappear from that place. And we're going to come tough on some of you, the younger ones. Bishop Abiyoye said something to me I will never forget. A few days ago, my wife and I went to see him. He said, Pastor Sam, drill the younger ones. He said, because the culture of work is gradually getting lost. He said, drill them. Don't look at their faces. Nobody looked at our face when they were training us. We were crying, they were telling us continue. This is a generation that cannot withstand tears. The young people use their faces to manipulate those of us that should train them. Hello, Junior. Come. Junior, what's happening? Is it the work I gave you? Okay, sorry. Forget about it. I've got to look. That's it. Raise your hands and say, Father, if you know you understand what I'm talking about, raise your hand. Raise it. God, you know the children are manipulated. God will forgive you. Raise your hand. This is deliverance service. Wait, see the fathers. Raise your hands. Don't let me get close to mothers. Because some of us, in a bid not to let our children go through what we went through, in the name of, we don't want them to suffer what we suffer, we don't let them go through hardship, training. Let me leave that until next week. I'm tempted to move in that direction. No, I'm not talking. So one of the secrets of lasting prosperity is something called the blessing. Somebody say the blessing. Yes. One of the secrets to prosperity is the blessing. Look at it carefully in Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. I really want you to see this. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Please take note of this. The Bible says, if you want to see lasting riches, there is something called the blessing of the Lord. The Bible says, in reference, it, the blessing, makes what, sir? So when the blessing is on your life, what does it do, sir? Say it again, it does what? I'm not hearing the word. I need to hear that word. It does what? Somebody shout the word, make it. Okay, so the word make it presupposes that that thing is a process. Come on, talk to me now. That the word make it presupposes that this does not happen overnight. Oh, come on, talk to me. So if you see me trekking to school, but I'm a child of God that carries the blessing, am I a blessed person trekking? Talk to me. I am in the making process. Is that okay? I don't have a car. I come to church. Does that make me less of a blessed person? No, I'm a blessed person. God is making me. Talk to me, somebody in the house of God. Yes, I don't have a million, but I'm not begging, neither am I broke. The issue is I don't have that much zeros, and it's a matter of time, because a blessing on me will do what, sir? Will make me. Somebody say, God is making me. You are talking like somebody in the Quranic school. Say like a minute, somebody say, God is making me. Maybe we should say like the scripture would need you to say. Somebody said, the blessing is making me. Because the blessing of the Lord, it does what, sir? It make it. Somebody touch your neighbor, say, it's a matter of time. Yes, I may not have three-piece suit. I may not have the latest Valentino, Giorgio, Armani. I may not have any of those names. But don't mess up with me, because I carry what, sir? The blessing. And the blessing is in what, sir? Making me. Hello, sir. You're too small to tell me to lie down on the table to sleep with me just to give me 20 million, 10 million, 500,000, 5,000 naira. Hello, sir. I I may be broke, I may not have money, but the reality is it's a matter of time, because I carry what, sir? The blessing. And the blessing is what, sir? The blessing is making me. You never look down on yourself when you carry the blessing. You never pity yourself as a blessing carrier. It's a matter of time. Pastor Sunday, in the early days in Lightway Academy, where we had no instruments, nothing, sir, did we look down on ourselves? When you see us walking, mama, you would think we own the planet. You will even think we are arrogant. We are not arrogant. We were conscious that we carry the blessing. And it was a matter of time. Everything we lack shall be in abundance. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. You're saying it like somebody they told not to speak. Say, I'm blessed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When we went to propose to our wives, mama, we only have meager means of income. But God bless the women. God bless you, Mrs. Adebamiro. God bless Mary Oye. God bless all of them for me. God bless them, because, sir, there was no beauty in us at that time that anybody should behold us. If we had approached the 21st century girls, they would have discountenanced us in a moment. Ah, what did you girls saw there? These women had eyes to see the blessing on the heart, on the life of a man. My wife saw it. Your wife saw it. And then we did not look like it. But today, sir, we are beginning to look like it. Somebody shout, the blessing is on me. I may not be able to eat burger, but I eat buns. I'm a man on my way to the burgers. Amen. Hallelujah. I may not take your cornflakes. I drink gari, but I'm a blessed man. Am I talking to somebody here? Does it matter if I eat baked beans? Baked beans don't matter where there's real beans. Amen. I'm a blessed man in the house. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. Blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. How do you know a blessed man, sir? Okay, so Barista Chiruka. So for instance, we want to start a church, all right? Where's Architect Collins? Okay, oh sorry. They're in the Ushafa church now. I've got to show you, say amen. And you shall have a church. So Architect Collins called me yesterday, day before yesterday, and said, Papa, he said, this is the first time in my life. He has been involved in church planting. He said, this is the first time in my life I'll be getting involved in church planting, that the church will give money and the pastor will also give money. He said, Pastor, when the church started crossover night, I was crying. He said, because I've started a church before, the pastor will just bring me to the location. I say, my son, this is where our church plant the church, and tell him, kneel down here. I pour oil on you. You will succeed here. And guess what? A church will start there. No chairs, but the church starts. No building, but he gets to build a building. No instrument given to him, but instruments come out. Why? The blessing maketh rich. How much did I come into Abuja with? Nothing. The money I brought to this city finished in 3 days. I didn't understand what Abuja means. 3 days, the money was finished. Now I need to look for a place to stay. But I carry the blessing. When I came in, there was no place to live in. So I went to Bishop Olutayo. And I said, Daddy, Pastor Bimbo Odukoya told me to come and see you. I came to start a church in Abuja, sir. The Lord told me to come. And the Lord has blessed me. Somebody will look at me and say, the Lord sent you. The Lord. So you don't get a place to live now. And he said, son, he said, don't worry, I'm going to get somewhere for you to stay. I will speak to some of my people. Just whilst we're talking, Helene Okonta, Paul is in the house. John Paul. Where's John Paul? Should be somewhere right in the back there. John Paul was a little kid. Helene Okonta saw me. She's in London now. She saw me and she said, hello, sir. She got to recognize me through her friend. She said, I learned you came to start a church. I said, yes. So what are you doing here? I said, I came to see the bishop because I need a place to stay. She said, no. Come over. I have a 3-bedroom flat and there's an empty room. And so in my mind, I thought it was like an empty room with some good stuff inside. So when I got there, then I realized that it was an empty room, no mattress, the window, there's only wrapper. Do you understand that? So no glasses. You understand? So when it rains, the water enters that particular room. So I was given a mattress to put on the floor. So when it rains, the mattress gets soaked. So then I will lay on an angle on the mattress, because if you over roll, you will roll into a swimming pool. Are you going to say that? And that thing has mastered me till this moment. When I stay one angle to thy tent, O Israel. Praise God. But then Helen saw me and gave us a room. Give me a room. And John Paul was and his mother were at the last room. So she stayed in between all of us. That was how the journey began. And then the former governor of one of the states, whom God has used us to bless before, heard that I was in town. And the wife called, Brother Sam. I said, yes, ma'am. Where are you? I lent you in Abuja. She said, no. You cannot be staying in Apo. It's time to move over to Wuse. That's how I moved to Wuse this time around, in a big queue. And you get, somebody said, the blessing make it. Maybe you should say it better. The blessing move it. Is that okay? And so it moved me from a poor village. It moved me to Wuse. Am I talking to somebody? It was right there my wife came to meet me. And listen, the mattress I was using in a poor was brought to me to start our marriage afresh. In a boys' quarters. But there's something about the blessing. It's make it. One of the things you must protect in your life is the blessing. Protect it, because the devil didn't come to the garden to steal their crops. The devil didn't come to steal mangoes. He didn't come to steal pineapple. He came to make them lose water. The blessing. Because as soon as the blessing was lost, what was introduced? The curse. Anytime, thank you, sir. Anytime you are tempted to commit sin, just remember this. Sin is not the goal. The goal is to make you lose what, sir? The blessing. The blessing of the Lord, it does what, sir? It makes it rich. Sweetheart, be relaxed. You will become it. Young man, take it easy. You will become it. Just make sure you never lose sight of this. Never let this drop. Never let it fall. Hold on to the blessing. Look at how the Message translation put this text. God's blessings makes life rich. Nothing we do can improve on God. God's blessing, the blessing that comes from God, it makes life rich. And nothing we do can improve on God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at the Passion translation. Look at how I put it. True enrichment comes from the blessing of the Lord with rest, contentment, and contentment in knowing that all comes from Him. There is something about the blessing. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. So the blessing is God's rescue plan for man. Carrying the blessing is God's rescue plan for your life. It is what gives you the advantage. It is what sets you ahead of others. It attracts and keeps good things in your life. The blessing on your life attracts and keeps good things in your life. The blessing is invisible. It is the invisible grace of God that rests upon an individual and begins to produce visible results. I see that blessing resting on you. I didn't get a good amen in the house of God. The blessing is the invisible grace of God that produces visible and tangible results through your life here on earth. You don't see it. You don't see the blessing, but you see the results. You see the effect. You know, one of the things that I love about the blessing is that God has done it in such a way, sir, that in every generation and in every community, in every location, God will always find one person, bless the person, a group of people, bless the individuals, and through them, God can bless others. So the blessing can be released on your life through somebody else. That's a beautiful thing. He said, Abraham, he said, I bless you. And he said, through you, others will be blessed. Is that okay? So that means that blessings can be, the blessing can be perpetuated. It can be transferred. All you need to do is to find someone that God has truly blessed. And that's why, listen to me, you can't afford to miss from tomorrow. We have seen some men that carry some very unique grace upon their lives. And we have decided that God should bring them into our house so that they can bring that grace upon your life. Pastor John Anna will be coming in from the US. He'll be arriving today in Abuja. And from tomorrow, all the way from Chicago, a man of prayer. He is the leading man when it comes to prayer in the whole of the US. That is one man that carries that exceptional grace. So make sure you're here bright and early, 5 p.m. tomorrow. Other churches will be joining us. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7 puts it this way. Please, I'd like you to look at it. Hebrews 7 verse 7. Hey, there's some things I want to share with you here in this service today. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7. Now beyond all contradictions, the less is blessed of the better. The less, I'm sure you have the blessing flows. Sorry, this is going to shake everything you understand about God now. This is the Bible putting it so clearly. That in the kingdom of God, there are people who call the less, and there are those who call what? The better. When it comes to the administration of blessing, God has divided human beings into two. When it comes to the administration of the blessing, God has divided all human beings into two. The less and the what, sir? The less and what, sir? I don't want to shock you. If I bring another translation, you'll be shocked at the usage of word. Most translations use the word, the inferior is blessed by the superior. Contemporary English version will tell you, the inferior is blessed by the superior. So in the administration of the blessing, there must be the recognition that one is superior, the other is inferior. Now, the inability to admit your inferiority when it comes to the blessing is the reason many will never be blessed. Sir, it is the admittance of the fact that I am less. When I stand before someone like, I may be much to you, I may be the better to you, okay? But when I come before someone like Bishop Abioye, I am less. When I appear before someone like Bishop Oyedepo, I am lesser. Are you catching what I'm saying, sir? It is the way this thing works. Everyone in living faith consider Bishop Oyedepo as a superior. Is that not so? But when Bishop Oyedepo comes before Pastor E. Adeboye, he becomes what? Are you catching how it goes? That is why people are lifted. You know why you struggle? You've not found the superior. You are connected to no superior, and it is the reason for your struggle. And let me say this. God in his wisdom has done it in such a way that you must have someone you subscribe to that God has authorized to make your life journey easier. Somebody has something to say over your life that will simplify your life. The unwillingness to recognize this. Okay. See that? Let's look at it together. Can we try to read it together? One, two, go. It is beyond what? The inferior is blessed by what, sir? The superior. The superior invokes. I'm done. The superior invokes through words, you are blessed. It is not the strength with which he speaks. It is the authority backing him, the legitimacy behind the pronouncement. That God has called him and blessed him like Abraham, and that through him, other nations will be blessed. And any nation that does not recognize him as superior shall not be blessed. See how it works. Somebody's struggle is because of the inability to humble yourself and recognize that there are men that God has blessed for your sake. Imagine how successful you are by your struggle. Imagine what it can become by the blessing. The blessing amplifies your results, minimizes your struggles. Whereas effort gives you additional results, the blessing gives you exponential results. Please look at the Amplified Version, so that somebody will not think this is in the Old Testament. Look at the Amplified Version of this same scripture. Yet it is beyond. Please look at everybody. In case you haven't disputed in your mind, let's settle it now. Can you see it? Can we all read it together? One, two, go. No, you will read it loud, because I know there are disputes going on in your mind. So you have to speak to the voice in your mind. Okay. Let's read. One, two, go. Say it again. It is beyond contradiction. I'm trying to show you why many are not prosperous. I can't tell you how simplified my life has become, finding the greater to speak over my life. I can tell you, sir, I'm talented, I'm gifted, but I've also struggled. Do you know the frustration of being talented without results commensurate to your talent? Do you know the frustration of being talented and the result is not commensurate to the effort you make put in? Nothing frustrates like that. Sorry, if it is in this kingdom, the way up is that the lesser must find the greater, so that the greater. In fact, there's an Amplified, I think this should be classic. There's another Amplified Version. Let me read that for you. This one says, yet it is beyond all dispute that the lesser person is always, always blessed by the greater one. It's a law. It's a law. I want to start a building project. Please, sir, can you come and speak a blessing on that project? Father, we speak. Am I giving? Is that money? Father, we speak the blessing on this project. We decree speed. For all our senior members in the church, I have had to do that. Most of our members were building. In fact, there was a time when I had time. Every Saturday, I would leave home. Per Sunday, I would go to Guzape. Mr. Maka was building. I will go speak a word. She will not know. I will come there. The day we were to do the groundbreaking, I said, Ma, there shall be speed, there shall be supply, there shall be strength, there shall be safety. That mansion was raised in record time. I will go from there to Starville International School. The school was, we had to go for groundbreaking. We say, Father, at that time there was, should we go for loan? Should we not go for loan? I said, Ma, don't go for loan. I said, God will do this. And in record time, sir, that place was restored. How it works, we don't know. It's a law. It's a law. It makes you a mystery. It makes you a wonder. And you will agree with me, your struggle is because of the absence of a blesser in your life. You today somebody's saying, Pastor, you just hit the nail right on the head. You know it. You are a gifted, talented, hardworking person, but results no match. And you know you are a loner. You are just a loner. Some of us, our fathers died not blessing us. Listen, I'm going to be sure because of this first service. I felt for myself when I was going to be starting this session, because I know I'm going to have an incomplete session in this service. But there's something I want to do in the second service. I want to share with you in the second service the four mysteries hidden in the blessing that even those who claim to have the blessings have not maximized. I want to share with you those four words: be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue. Everyone in the enterprise world, in the marketplace, those of you in the workplace, I have things to share that will liberate you today, that will take your business from where it is to where God wants it to be. And I'm going to show you that in the blessing. So, you know, it's one thing to now have somebody who blesses you, okay? Because that's so many of us who, oh, Papa has blessed me. And now you sit down and think that, because you don't understand how the blessing works. So what I want to show you is how it works for you to become prosperous. There's a step-by-step process. So can I have any of you come? So when the blessing is an invocation made by words, you're blessed. And now normally, every time the blessing is released, check through your entire Bible. Nobody just say you are blessed. After the person says you bless, or the person wants to say you are blessed, the person always releases what we call the content of the blessing. Meaning this is what your life will look like by what I have just said over your life. Is that okay? So if you find a scripture, every time the blessing is being released, you see things like be fruitful, multiply. Okay? So I'm going to be showing you that today. How it works. How that when the blessing is released on your life, listen carefully. It said, be fruitful. Now, it didn't say fruitful. It said be. Be fruitful. It didn't even say be seedful, because he has already made you seedful. See, the problem is there are too many blessed people who are seedful but not fruitful. How do you transform seedfulness, convert seedfulness into fruitfulness? And the best time to start is early in the year. I have ability to write books. So you are seedful. How do we translate that into fruitful? What does fruitful, para, what does it mean? Then how do you go from being fruitful to becoming, to multiplying? You've heard me do some teaching on dominion. But I'm going to open your eyes today through the blessing. But I want everyone here to know today, that number one, because you're a child of God, once you've given your life to Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed with spiritual blessings. Where? Talk to me now. Where are they? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But where do you need them? I say it again. Do you need car in heaven? So when I say you are blessed, I've released the spiritual tangible force that makes life happen. What do you do with it? Number one, take one step, be fruitful. Number two, multiply. Number three, replenish. Number four, subdue. If you do this four, the resultant effect is that you will now have... How do you have marketplace dominance? Calm down. How do you have marketplace dominance? Every enterprise wants to have marketplace dominance. Everybody wants to have influence in the marketplace. How do you want to have dominance? Whether it's Coca-Cola, anybody, any company that is dominating the market, this is a principle. I don't care to know, sir, the enterprise. I don't care to know what they teach you in Harvard, what they teach you in a London Business School. If it is about marketplace dominance, these are the four steps that every enterprise dominating the market is following. This, funny enough, they took the principle and apply effort, and they are getting results. We have the principle, we carry the blessing, but we are not applying the principle. Can you see the difference? So I'm trying to show you why unbelievers have results that we don't have. But where do they take the principles from? From the word. We have the blessing, but we're not applying the principle. You'll prosper this year. That amen sounds like you want to stay back. I said you must prosper this year. Help me look at your neighbor and say you are implicated already. You are implicated. You must prosper this year. For those of you who are into business, something will snap in your mind. And you will go from obscurity to limelight. In the mighty name of Jesus. Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you because of my time. Thank you, sir. Oh, God. Lift your hands to the Father. And I just want you to make pronouncement because I may not be able to spend too much time to pray for you. Please look at me, everybody. Whatever you do, these four principles will establish your dominion this year. In ministry, you must become fruitful. You must multiply. You must replenish. You must subdue for you to begin to have dominion. Massive influence comes through all of this. In your career, your workplace, you must also apply this principle. So I'm going to be breaking down the principles in the second service. And next Sunday, again, I'll be taking you to the principles of diligence. So it's not just praying here. I will stretch your mind. Amen. Lift your hands up. Father, I thank you for this moment. Thank you because the blessing maketh us rich. And thank you because through Christ, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. However, you have placed us also on earth to pronounce the blessing on your children. The Bible says the last thing Jesus did on earth, the greater, was to bless the disciples as he ascended. Now I stand in the place of the priest over this house. For the Bible said the priest shall declare the blessing on the people. So I stand over you today. And as I hear your amen, I pronounce over you, you are blessed. It doesn't matter where you work. I release upon you the blessing. I invoke upon you now the blessing of the Most High God. From this moment, difficult things will become easy. Closed doors will be open. Favor will be granted. Where you are drowning, you shall come out to the top. Confusion will give way to direction. This year I decree you will have double for your trouble. Where you have suffered losses, I decree and declare gain will come in your direction. I decree by the blessing at work in your life, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. And by the blessing, have dominion everywhere you go. Dominion in the marketplace. Dominion in the workplace. If you receive a shout, a big amen in the house.